15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
WorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 if they live in the broadcast range. And if not, send them an email. Give them a call to check us out by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as always, we will send a rebroadcast out later this afternoon. The best thing that you can do to help the movement is to email the broadcast out to others. Bring in some new people, and also we've been getting some good contacts from the Join Our E-List, which is right on the front page of American Workers Radio, next to our panel with the U.S. debt clock, which is getting unbelievable attention, and our theme for this year, Support the American-Made Label. Today, we will have some remarks from our panel members, and I'm very pleased to be here with Mark Andel, because Mark is the guy I really need to talk to about this particular issue. And I want him to know that I've had some unbelievable situations happening in the last few weeks as a result of the conversation that Mark and I have had. But I want to thank Larkin Connolly, who is the East Regional Vice President of the SCORE Association, Rich Loges, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, of course, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, and also our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. And for FCC Rules, I'm Michael Blihash, your host. Now, you know, Mark, you learned from hard experience, as did I. Everything in the real world is done on a competitive basis. Well, lately I've been trying to contact a few merchandisers to see what's going on, and I had a few ideas that I was trying to put on the street, and I had very glad that I had these little get-togethers, and I will have a few more. In fact, if there is any merchandiser listening today, or you know of a merchandiser, send me a note. Send it to Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. That's Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and I'll share some of our ideas with you. Now, from what I'm hearing, Mark, from supporters and also being told by business owners, there are many people that want to support our Buy American Made campaign. They want it to succeed. But there are also a lot of people who want the movement to fail. Now, why do I say that? Well, let me break down just a few thoughts. Stores are open, like Mark's and others, to serve customers and give them what they really want. In Mark's case, he's giving you 100% made in America. Others are there to serve you, be it foreign made or American made. They want the customer to be satisfied. Now, here's where the difficult situation comes in, Mark, and I'm going to ask you to address this issue because I'm sure you've seen it, getting your products in the door. The foreign-made merchandisers want our movement to fail, mainly because a lot less money is made for them from American-made merchandise. And by the way, they want to keep control of the supply chain the way they want it. Not the way we would like to see it turned around, but the way they want it. So they drag their feet slowly. Recently, and I mean very recently, one merchandiser told me that the merchandisers get together and they built a fort around their operations, so that they can keep control of everything that's going on. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, Michael, let me tell you something. In some cases, the products that are being offered to the stores right now are 90% foreign made and in some cases it's 100% foreign made. So there's very little room to make new room for new products without angering the foreign made providers. Interesting point. What do you see happening in that area, Mark?
How you doing, Mike, and all the listeners, and Rich Larkin, Henry. Mike, I've got Rich on a special mission. I hired him as CSI Rich for me, so he's he's investigating my 100% made in America products.
Let me tell you something. There is no better. There is no better detective you could have sent on this mission.
My brain yesterday that I needed somebody in Florida. Rich came and his wife okayed it, and everything's good. 100%. Rich is checking out the Berry Act for me, but great thank you to Rich, and I'll tell you more on that story later because I think it'll help our whole mission. But, you know, with the merchandisers, it's funny what you do, Mike, and you investigated in these merchandisers locking up these deals with foreign vendors. And, again, the listeners, I love that, you know, you can't just buy for the experience. You have to do your part. These listeners and our customers have so much power, and I hope they just keep exercising and do what we preach, because it works. The consumer demanding made in America products is what's going to drive buyers to change. I recently are working with not only buyers in the country but wholesalers, because they've seen my story, they've seen our team story, they've seen our 7 year success in April. Now, making a dollar in retail is very difficult. Most everyone that knows me knows we did it not for the dollar, for the livelihood, and really, truly to make an impact on why Made in America matters. And, Mike, you've always stressed, we want 50-50 fair trade. We're not about 100%, even though all my products are 100%. That was to make the statement. No one can believe that we don't have one item that plugs in or takes a battery in the United States of America. That's so sad. We should have never got here. And recently I've been asked more and more by our local media, because I'm trusted, I believe, and they know what we're up to. But lately, last night, and I did email you it, and I hope you can share it with your viewers, it was on RTV2, and it was a top segment on skilled worker shortage. And why, if there's unemployed people, why can't Mark Andel and companies like me use them? And it was College for Everyone years ago, and we all wanted the best for our children. But there's such a shortage just in Buffalo, Mike, 750,000 workers. They're going to need 135,000 workers within the next 5 to 10 years because of retirement. The average age of a welder right now in the country, United States of America, is 65 years old. That means that's their age while they're working now. They're going to want to retire. And we've messed up. I mean, there's no workers to replace them. I'm about to get hit because of the new president, what he's doing on my side, oil mining, military, juice plants, attacking the Dodd-Frank Act, the TPP, reversing a lot of things on oil and mining. I'm getting busy fast. And I just want to state that, because in my life, I haven't seen this hope in 2-3 years plus. But it's a lot of movement. But what's going to be the problem, we'll have work, but we won't have no workers. There's such a shortage, and this that TV2 clip I sent you last night was 10 minutes on prime time. Very well done, and it shows that you don't need the college degree as much as the schools and guidance counselors and teachers have to make it okay that welding, construction, millwright, anything you want to be is okay. And we've talked about it. It's actually too late, because the more we push now, you got to wait four to 6 years to get workers. But this is going to be the number one challenge in the United States of America this year starting, because workers, we're going to have work, but we're not going to have the workers. And, Mike, check out that piece that I emailed you today, and share that on your website. It was well done. They went to many soft skills, hard skills, and what we need today. But it's very exciting. But people are making a difference. But like you said, you know, why these 10 years, these vendors lock in with a foreign trade company, you have to, Larkin would back me, we have to have that supply chain, but we've got to start somewhere. I myself now have almost 500 vendors that sell the Made in America store, 100% Made in America products. So we've grown. We had 50 products when we opened April 3rd, 2010. We have 7,000 now. So it shows you that you can do it. Now, we're in a small town of Elma outside of New York, Buffalo, New York. But it shows you the power. We've got to keep stressing our vendors out. When the listener or customer goes and asks for Made in America product, they're going to cause that buyer to change and try to break down what you found out, Mike, these 10-year deals, and say, no, I want quality products made in America. I want to support our country. I want to put my neighbor to work. And again, we got to stay consistent, educate, and raise awareness. And, Mike, I think we're doing it, but it's important that our listener and our consumer knows their power outside of Washington, what the power the consumer has.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, Mark, as we're talking, it brings back parts of this conversation, which really upset me in one respect. I didn't show that, but it upset me because I thought to myself, these are American people who took all that time to do us in. They took the time to do their fellow Americans in. They pipered all the jobs out of the country. As I say, every few months I say that 10,000 people in America retire a day. 80% of them are professionals of some type, professional workers, skilled workers, and they're not going to be able to be replaced. And in some places, they don't care if they're going to be replaced because they already subcontracted to a foreign country to do it.
Right. And, Mike, I think you agree, and we know this wasn't done on purpose possibly in the beginning 35 years ago. You know, with profit margins that you could make more overseas. A lot of American families and business moved overseas to China and actually, you know, built their business there. I know people that moved their families to China and took advantage of this low-cost labor at the time. But now that they know what it's done, we recognize the problem, we found the disconnect. Now I don't believe they should do what they're doing. Like you said, they're selling out America. They're selling out our
they're
children's
selling
future.
Out
our
America.
Children's future is what they're selling out.
You know what,
and
Mark? Mark, I have to be honest, and I don't care. It's being said the way it was said to me. The guy said in this tone of voice, and he just said, "Look out for yourself first. Don't worry about making sure the movement's a success." It for sure scared me. I didn't make a reaction. I said, well, I said, there's a lot of people who see things differently. One of the biggest things that has the merchandisers now shaken up, there's two things. Number one, they never expected the guy who ran around the country yelling, we want our jobs back, we're going to give tariffs for imports and all this and that, to become elected. They never thought it. They thought that this would be just, you know, kaput. Come the November the 8th, we just continue business as usual. The American people go on food stamps and unemployment, and the foreign workers become more skilled as the American people go to waste. But a piece of history in America changed on November the 8th when the guy they thought would not make an impact did make an impact.
Yeah, and Mike, when they talk about Silicon Valley, I just happen to, again, I'm busy working. I don't watch the news a ton. I'm doing what we do. But when they say the immigrants, you know, it's really affected Silicon Valley, but why can't our children get them jobs first? Even when you go to Canada, it's $10,000. You got to get a sponsor. But if you're a truck driver trying to go to Canada and you want the truck driver job, if there's a Canadian that'll take it, the Canadian takes it first, not the American, when you're trying to, if you want to move to Canada. But I can't believe we've got to really help our children first and really train them right to get the jobs here.
That's right. And that shows you how our national leaders just sat back and allowed all this to happen. In Canada, even with music, Henry was telling me that only 50% of the music played on their radio stations can be foreign.
Now, I don't know. I don't remember. This was years ago, but some years ago, there was some kind of law. When I was up in Canada, I heard a lot of bands that were from, you know, Canada, and I just thought, like, wow, I guess they're supporting their own country. And then somebody told me that it was mandated that they have to. Like, on radio, they had to play a certain amount of Canadian music as opposed to foreign music for them. I don't know if that's still the case or what the story is. But
that's a good thing. Because you're able to push your own countrymen first. And this should be the case. We've been talking about this for a long time. This should be mandated from Washington as well as in every state capital in the USA. We should go after everybody who is in business right now, promote what they have, get it in bigger circulation, help them to go. The politicians should be visiting people like you, Mark, every day possible. Let a councilman come one day, and 2 days later, let an alderman come, and then 3 days later, let a state representative come. There's just no care, because the bottom line is, At the end of the week, they get their paycheck, and they really don't want to shake the boot.
Yeah, when you said that guy told you, you know, you got to look out for yourself, that's the problem.
This is
you
what know, it is.
One country, one goal. You know, again, I always said America got selfish, greedy, and lazy, and we got to really wake up. You know, me, my wife, my team, my family, we work hard, Mike. I mean, we work hard. We showed some people what my sister Cheryl does just in the office to run 9 facilities. They work, they're workhorses. I mean, we work, and it's hard to make a dollar. But I don't know why businessmen are treated as bad as they are. We create livelihoods. And, you know, it's funny. We've got to get back to doing what we do. You've got to take pride in your country, 50-50 fair trade. I've got a lot of Canadian friends, and what Henry says with the radio, that's just beautiful stuff. Canadians get it, and they love America. Our economy works off of theirs. We work back and forth. They've got some neat skilled worker systems going on in their school, almost like the German way, where they're teaching them in high school. In the high school, they got small engine repair. They got construction. You can bring in jobs. I was just talking to a guy. Canada gets it. I mean, they've got a neat system that we've got to follow so we can keep – you know, I tell people, again, I had metal shop, wood shop in high school. We've got to get that back so they get exposed to this because they're going to make very, very good money, the skilled workers that are left, and their future can be good. You're going to be 50,000 to six figures with these guys that are left, and they're going to be buying guys and stealing guys from each other company because there's such a shortage.
And you know, Mark, what also is being told to me is this is one of the reasons people are being imported from other countries to America to work in the health systems, to work in some of the skilled labor movements, to bring their... Can you imagine, in the city of Philadelphia, we've had a quarter of our trains had to go down some months ago on the regional rails because the fittings that were made in the foreign country weren't exactly the way they should have been, and they wore down based upon the use of our people riding the rails every day. They didn't take all that into consideration with their level of steel. Now the L cars, which are also foreign made, same thing. They take out 25% of the cars out of existence for a couple weeks, maybe a month, because they need major repairs. And yet we have places in America that would be able to make those cars. And instead of building them and helping them grow, where they could go to every city and say, well, let's help you replace your subway system or your elevated trains or something. No, it's the foreign competitors come to the table. They have 10 people in the room, and the American company has one because they're downsized. In Philadelphia, there was the Bud Company on Hunting Park Avenue. As that went down, most of that work transferred around, and a lot of it went abroad. Yet no one was able to do anything in the government to stop it. I really believe it's time for the politicians to start speaking up and saying, no, America first. America first.
You believe Buffalo was the second largest most popular city in the country at one point. I mean, Bethlehem, we had Buffalo Forge. I went to all the auctions, U.S. Steel's, Grill Iron Works. And now, you know, we look like Detroit does from the air. I mean, it's a great city, great people. And, you know, you talk about the inner city troubles and the drugs and whatnot. Unfortunately, drugs replaced the manufacturing, I believe, because that became a business. And, you know, if you cut the drugs off with the border and solve that problem, because I hate to see our kids' lives ruined with drugs, you've got to replace that with jobs. And manufacturing jobs can replace that work that and give these people a purpose and provide for their family. It's true. We have to get manufacturing items back here, and we're doing it, but everybody has to do their part.
You know, even with the job fairs that sometimes our agency participates with, I look at the list of what is available if a person went to the job fair. Majority of them are sales jobs, insurance, you know, people selling insurance and stuff like that. How about people needed to do purchasing in it for industrial supplies or whatever? They're not around because the industries are not there. We've reached a turning point in America. We said that at the end of last year, we said we were going to focus more on promoting what we have. And that's why I've been going out to the merchandisers and talking to them. I spoke to a few. In fact, I spoke to a company in New Jersey just yesterday, and the guy said to me, It's very hard to get our product on the street. We have a specific area of stores that we supply, but moving that out is very difficult. We've been in business for over 60 years, and still, no matter what, you go to a merchandiser, he says, yeah, well, you want a dollar for that. I can get it for 60 cents. You know, so if he has to drop his price to 60 cents, he's working for nothing, and this is how it is. But the latest thing that I've been hearing reported is that the people in Congress are saying maybe there would be a good will putting on a value tax on imported items. That would help the distributors in America to grow and, you know, make some new products come alive. We've allowed America to become the sales point of the world, and we have nothing to send around the world that's really, we have big products and cars and, you know, machines and grow, you know, farm machines and stuff like that. But the little products are really few and far between that are seen on the international market. You've been to our place in Philadelphia, Mark. You know, we're right there in the heart of historic Philadelphia. I have a good opportunity to speak to people, and I question everybody about everything in the kitchen sink. The people tell me the same thing. I agree with the Buy American Made campaign. I'm supporting the issue itself. Where are the products?
Yeah, you know, it was funny yesterday. My wife's store, Mike, she's at a local mall. She had a group of young kids come, and there's a big, we got a big banner there that says "Rebuilding the American Dream," and it shows all races and everybody, you know, with a hammer or welding or whatever. And these kids came in front with little flags she had given them, but out of nowhere, they started singing the Pledge of Allegiance. She videoed it. I'll send you it. But it was beautiful to see the young youth just walk into the store and start singing this. You know, their parents, of course. Jackie talked to her later. But it was an awesome catch. And, you know, you look at the children, and it's all about our children's future. I always said we did it for country, soldier, American worker, and our children's future. That's what the Made in America store, that's what producing products in your own country. Again, remember, you know, 7 years ago, more for you, Mike, people thought we were crazy. It's a fad. It's a trend. This is the real deal. The Made in America movement, you have to produce more than you can consume, and that's what's going to fix 90% of our problems.
Absolutely. You know, and by the way, Mark, you know better than anybody, merchandisers will try to control anything they can. At this point, merchandisers can't control America's marketplace anymore, but they will. They will. If the people don't get involved and start supporting American-made products, supporting small businesses, and really speaking up where they shop. I do enjoy, I usually, you know, try to make some conversation with the cashiers and all, and they tell me, people make a lot of remarks about, wow, I'm shocked how much foreign-made stuff you have in this store. I couldn't find this. When you go to a drugstore, well, most of that's under the Drug Administration, so it is, you know, American-based. But when you go into other stores, you're starting to even see window cleaning supplies and all coming from foreign countries. It's maybe very cheap. When you look at the bottle, you say, God, I can't even have a Windex or a Glass Plus. I have to have this. It looks the same. The color of the spray is the same. But, you know, the label is, you know, that you really wouldn't know it unless you looked at the label. And that's why looking at the label has become a real big thing in America. And I can't thank the people enough for doing it.
But if you lead with quality, you know, again, it became the throwaway world. Everybody wanted more items. People don't do their homework. But if you lead with quality, I think of Harbor Freight. My father had grabbed a couple tools or whatever, but it's not the Chanelac player. I mean, there's no quality. It's the product, but it's a pretend product. It doesn't have the quality of the last few years. You're not going to pass it on to your children so they can use that tool. So people got to remember, we got to try to lead with quality. When you're buying something, pick it up, feel it. Get the quality. You might pay a little more, but if you don't have to buy it again.
And, you know, you're right, Mark. And even in some of those tools that you buy, as soon as you start, now, 10 years ago, some products were purchased prior to me. And when I go to use them, you see they fall apart. it starts to grind down very quickly. The screw, the channel lock type stuff doesn't work as good as it should. It already starts to get worn down quickly. And you look then, I look now more than ever at everything, even if it's 10 years ago, and it is foreign made.
And it's the hardness of a drill bit, Mike. They don't know it doesn't hold an edge, the hardness of a knife. There's so many things with quality, and it's a culture change. Our kids don't even know, but they got to be taught quality. And I think the parents can help them teach quality. You know, you might pay a little more, but a lot of our items are under. We're confusing people. I said if you can't convince them, confuse them, right, Mike? A lot of our products in our store are less money. And they're what? Well, we don't make the profit margin. They could be making 1,000% on a foreign item. That's the difficulty. At the end of the day, did you make a dollar? And your government's going to take half. They take 50% with state and federal and local taxes. That's a fact. If you make a dollar, they're going to take half. So we do our part to support and fix our potholes in our economy, right?
You know what? Mark, we are having some events coming up. This is President's Day weekend. And I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you to people like Mark, who are promoting the broadcast on his internet site, and also the radio, television, and internet advertising that's being done to promote the American Made campaign. And if any of you look on your television or listen to the radio, you'll also see that there's a lot of radio and television advertising promoting President's Day and the midwinter season sales and all that stuff. Well, as winter season is coming to a down part, we're almost at the end of winter, another month and we're gone. Stores want to move that inventory to make room for spring and summer products. Most people don't realize that people plan a year or more in advance for the products that they'll have available to them coming up in the spring, summer, or fall, even for next Christmas. They won't think about, you know, like, oh, well, it just didn't automatically appear. A merchandiser right now is working very hard to bring those products from wherever. They could be American made, hopefully, or they could be foreign made. They're already making the deals so that the stores would have the amount of product they want so they can put it on their shelves as soon as spring, fall, and summer arrives.
And, Mike, a lot of people don't realize, like you said, the buyers and merchandisers at these larger store chains are about 6 months out. So today they would be working on school supplies in August. It's a fact. They're already making the ads and whatnot. They're generally 4 to 6 months out ahead of the day it is. And I know that firsthand, especially with working with the store in stores now, which is unbelievable. But that's how far out you are. But you got to always, again, the people have to think about what they're buying. We're asking them to do their part. Do a little bit of homework and think about the connection of that product with the skilled worker, with the person putting it together, and how you can help them, you know, have their life and live their dream and be able to afford and provide for their families. And I think that's lost. I'd love to see the big news national networks. Your show, Mike, is better than most every show out there. We're positive. We're talking about the real problems. We're talking about how people can make a difference. Go out today. Purchase Made in America. We want 50-50 fair trade. You do more with this show than most. I mean, the rest is cartoons lately. They have to concentrate. They should be talking about the skilled worker shortage.
And, you know, Mark, in this case, you're very right, because all they're doing is distractions. It's all Trump this Trump that.
We need one country, one goal. We got to get going together. And you can see where it's going now.
Someone asked me for a comment about the Ivanka Trump line. And I said, well, people will decide what they want to sell in their stores, and people will decide what they want to buy. And I said, the only thing I will make a comment about it is this: how much of it is made in America? And the guy says, well, none of it. I said, well, then maybe she should have all those products that are foreign made sold in those foreign countries and start making them back in Brooklyn, New York, and places where we still have a lot of places that could manufacture those coats and whatever else is being sold. We got to stop looking
for
the
bragging rights on that, Mike, and it would be a great start. We need big players to step in.
And right, she could be a hero. She's being victimized, people are telling me. She could be a hero by saying, well, all of my new line is going to be American made. I've went to this dealer and that dealer. I went down south. I went down north. I went to Buffalo, whatever. Hey, This is some, it's a new day in the country. Her dad promoted America First, and I think she should be the person to promote America First in all of her clothing lines as well.
Absolutely. Everybody do their part. And that's, you know, even if you can't be 100%, again, 50-50 is
Mark, compliance. One of the craziest things that I hear from people is they say, well, Michael, you have to understand, I heard that report on 2020, America lost 70,000 industries that closed and went overseas. I said, okay, that's understandable. But why didn't 70,000 new industries open in America to replace those that left? That's a question mark.
Yeah, where's our middle class? And if you just watch, again, it brings me back to our movie, the American-made movie. You know, it shows that shrinkage of the middle class, and it shows where we've, where we are. And that middle class has to grow. And to grow it, you have to have industry here. And it's going to take time, but we've got to start. It's going to take another 10, 20 years to build it back.
It is, but, you know, with maybe the tax bringing stuff over will help. But my advice, and if I had, you know, more availability to do this, I would go and make sure that every company that's even considering to close, downsize, if they don't want to do it themselves, maybe bring in additional investors or sell it to a company that wants them to expand right here in the USA.
Give them incentives, right?
Give them incentives. This is
how,
you know, like we talked about a month ago, somebody said that it's going to be tough to get some of these skilled workers back. And I did go back at them and just say, well, we have a number of companies, thousands of companies that closed in the last 3 years. Those workers are still available, most of them. Bring a new company into the picture. Let them start a new line. Do we need a special brand name? No, we don't. We can have the Mark Andel line of whatever. Why can't we? And put those fabrics and put those companies back on the American scene and move them along. I would like to see a tax for bringing stuff in here to level the playing field so we could bring those industries back to life in America. It, working in social services, there's nothing more depressing than to see a young person, able-bodied person, out of a job, not because they want to be out of a job, but because their industry downsized, closed, moved abroad in the last 6 months or a year. We have a new president. I'm appealing to President Trump. We're going to hold him accountable for his words. I'm appealing to him and Curtis Ellis and everybody else who's there to start making America's industries the top thing that they look at. They can go to every industry right now and do a census. How are you doing? Is there anything we can do to help promote you? Is there something that's killing you? How can we stop it from killing you? You know what I'm saying, Mark? Has anyone ever come to you and ask you those kind of questions?
Well, we got our ECIDA, you know, Erie County Industrial Development Association. We got an RDC, the Regional Development Corporation. We got the IDA, which is a part of that. And what they do is they want to create jobs in our Erie County, but they want to they want you to, you know, promise you'll hire, and they give you a tax resolution. Generally, they don't give you money, but they give you a tax resolution, so it's a good start. But lately, our county executive pulled the rug out from about three employees that used them for tax advantage because the economy was so down last year, especially in the oil and mining industry, that they made them, they call them clawbacks, they made them pay it back before the year was up. But you know, you've got to have a relationship, the county executives, the politicians, with the businesses, and understand the markets, understand what we need, and make it feasible and economical to build and grow in your areas, because sometimes they piss these people off enough where they're not going to grow in the area, and that might be leaving the country. We've got to tax the imports is not a ridiculous statement. If you tax the imports, you're going to cause growth. They've already done it to the steel industry to a tune of 90%, it's going to have to be made here, but we're going to suffer for 5 years as we're rebuilding mills, and this is going to be a hard 5 years, Mike.
Oh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be brutal.
We've got to go through it for our children. It has to happen. We've got to get our house in order, which is our country.
You know, restoring industries that moved overseas is really easier said than done, because there's no magic wand. You just go over an industrial park, and tomorrow the factory's built, the lights are ready to go on, the machines and everything is ready to be there. But it's the interest of the American people that's been sparked in the last year or so. They want their industries back, because they see their husbands, their sons and daughters don't have the jobs. And industry does not only mean the person making the product. With industry comes, you know, Mark, you have your people in the office, you have your buyers, your shippers, you have your payment people. You know, there's 1,001 opportunities for things to be done in America's economy. But instead of that, we just told people 25 years ago, well, you'll just sit back and you'll be the billing clerks for all the foreign stuff coming over here. How well did that work?
Well, you know, I want to say, you know, Mike, right now I'm meeting with a big client, and they're building in Shanghai right now. They're based out of San Diego, and they've got one on the East Coast, and we might be able to help them build and fabricate and manufacture their equipment. One problem with working in Shanghai and China and overseas, if you're based in America, is your lead times. Customers, consumers want quality parts on time. They're 20% on-time delivery. They have such a nightmare with control. So they can't control their lead time. They can't control their quality. The shipping, of course, is costly. But people don't realize the shipping containers, you're paying, it's cheap to ship in a shipping container because of the volume of weight. I could get a plow from Iron Mountain, Michigan for $200 to $300 a plow to Western New York. They can ship one from Iron Mountain, Michigan to China for $100. Big difference in them shipping containers on weight, so they always say the shipping. But it's more of the control factor is why we want to build here. Control factor, quality parts on time. That's why making parts in America makes sense, and you're helping your neighbor.
Yeah, and Mark, even if it was just 50%, then you can say,
absolutely,
we're in a competitive, we can compete with one another. But when the merchandisers tell me, Michael, you're really, really walking up a very steep hill, dragging a 100-pound rock behind you.
Well, I've been doing that for quite a while, Mike.
I know. And I said to the guy, I says, well, as long as it's not around my neck, I feel a little better. I don't mind dragging the rock. And they said, Michael, 70,000 industries left. It's very hard to replace them overnight. And I said, well, with the modern technology and all, and there's new products, Mark, being invented every day that people buy, but they're not being invented anymore in America.
And the new equipment, Mike, is awesome. CNC, you know, even the welders, the technology, solid state, computer numerical controlled equipment. These factories are going to be state-of-the-art. Kids are going to need two-year degrees. They're going to need college and schooling and training, but they're going to start jobs. Like I've got BOCES internships. I've got four kids that come out of high school right now every morning, 7:30 to 10:30 every day till May. But they're getting exposure, and that's what we need. So it works. We just got to keep doing it, but grow it. Make it okay. Make it acceptable for these children to do this.
You are so right. You know, the recovery is not going to happen, as I said, overnight. But we, the American consumer, have the power. Mark, you saw it from yourself, from 50 products to 7,000 products. That didn't happen overnight. That took time to make sure everything that you wanted on your shelf was what you wanted. In this case, the merchandisers decided, they went over, the packaging looked good. Even the American flags that they were selling for some years, they looked really good. I mean, Americans really didn't know this story until in maybe 5-6 years ago when everybody started complaining. Yourself and myself and all the others started to say, it's not even made in America. How can we do this to ourselves? Did the Annans and the Valley Forge flag companies and all really start to blossom again? And now we don't see that amount of foreign-made flags hitting our market. I go to, when I'm out shopping, I'll look as much as I can to see what's going on. And the light bulbs, everything else is coming from everywhere and anywhere in the world but America.
And talking about lights, when I finished that new store last year, Mike, I pushed the stainless outside, be made in America, the sheet metal, the wood, the LED lights on my building. I didn't need 26 of the standard recessed lighting. I only needed 14 LED lights. I paid about $400 a fixture, but I'm not going to replace a bulb for 10 years. LED is the way to go, and LED is made in America and can be. So that's very nice where the lighting is going. LED lights use less than half the amperage. It makes sense for many, many reasons with the grid and everything. So it's neat that, you know, the original incandescent light bulb, we only had one manufacturer left in our country, and I'm sorry to say they just pulled. They went foreign. But these LED lights coming up, new technology, which makes sense, love the cold, are bright, are work, wonderful. They are being made in our country. So it's great to see new technology in a new way being made here.
You know, this year we're trying to focus on the American-made label, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to talk to some additional people if some of those merchandisers would only come around and say, well, okay, we'll try to merchandise everything that we have, but we can also make room for some new products. There must be someone in the supply chain that doesn't want that to happen, because it's not only one person. This is a fourth person I'm trying to work on, and they keep saying, well, you know, 95% of my people are all foreign, you know, and their products are very good. I don't get complaints. The American people, you know, need it. They buy it. And they, if they had a choice, they would probably buy it. But, you know, they don't look until now, and then you're doing a great job doing that. But they try to talk me down off the wall. It's telling me that this is going to be a longer and harder road than any of us ever imagined. Mark, after all, you started in 2010. How would you change your operation now if you were back in 2010?
Yeah, you know, we look at it, we talk about it as a team. You know, we're very close with our team players, and I've got great people, not good people. It's just we keep working, even my wife and children and kids, and it's been a tough road. We've made a lot more good decisions than bad. We look back. I wouldn't change too much. We're still 100% owner. We didn't franchise, but the wholesale we feel we're making a bigger difference on, because most people say they can't find Made in America products, but here we certify three times Made in America products. I wouldn't change too much. We're just a lot of the industry, my general welding and fabricating, the general economy has not changed in 6 years, and that's sad.
Very
sad. We have
sad.
Not seen change. And I say, now, snow-related, I'm a snow removal equipment company. That's based on Mother Nature, so we leave that alone. That hurts. You know, we have two light winters for us. That's tough. Oil and mining, juice plant work, general retail, landscaper, you know, construction was up for a while, but it's been a tough economy in the industry I'm in. It's not changed in 6 years, or seven almost, since we opened a store, Mike. And that's what caused me to open that store, closing two of my four plants, losing half my business to China, laying 40 employees off. And a lot of people were actually retelling that story, because a lot of people don't know my story. It was the worst time of my life, not the best time of my life, when I opened a Made America store.
You know, Mark, you did all this legwork, and that's why I urge people to support you, go to your internet site, make sure you support Mark Andel. All you do is click on his picture, or go to the Made in America store link. Help Mark out, because let me tell you something, this guy is unbelievable. One of the merchandisers said this to me. I didn't make a big reaction about it. I said, I may mention that on this week's radio show. He said, Michael, you know, going around and seeking out these American-made products, that's a lot of hard work. He said, because today I go to my email system, I go to the purchase cards, I click on the amount of what particular items I want shipped over, how they're supposed to be shipped, where they're going to the port of Baltimore, port of Philadelphia, Florida, wherever. And it's done. With one email, I'm able to order hundreds or thousands of items from my distributor in a foreign country. Right now, I can do it. I can't do that with American-made products.
And that's funny you bring that up, Mike, because that's where our store-in-store concept is going. You know, we're in six other stores because they don't want to do the homework. They don't want to call. The product is not made in America because there's so much fraud there. They know we use, just like my military projects I do at Northrop Grumman, we use the same system, three certified letters with each product, and we police it. That work is incredible. But again, I'm 100%. Everybody don't have to be 100%. That was my concept and core value. But 50-50% is what the Federal Trade Commission says, which I don't know if I agree with. You know, it could be called made in America if it's 50-50. But that, you know, at least to do the work and get as much as you can made in America, because it's out there, but it's taken that time. Like you said, it's given up a few dollars. I always think of Tim Cook with Apple and the iPhone. You know, they're making $200-$300 profit on each phone. Give up $50 of it and build half of them in our country.
Right, right, right.
Why not?
You know, Mark, you just said something about your warehousing situation. This guy also made a very interesting comment to me. In fact, I was even thinking, I was in a devilish mood, and I thought, maybe I should bring these four guys. They're all close, you know, within 10, 15 miles from my office. And one guy says to me, Michael, can you direct me to a warehouse where we have 1,000 American-made products that we could go on their merchandiser list and do it, and that the quantities we would need to supply our stores? And, you know, I didn't make any comment because I thought, you know, that's a hell of a good question, and I don't have an answer for it. Because I'm always promoting American-made, but I'm depending on people going out shopping, looking at the labels. So this is another step up the ladder.
That's where our distribution is building to, Mike. We're stocking more and more, and that's where we're helping these with the store-in-stores. Our store-in-store, we supply the wholesale products. You know, we don't have the we don't have the payroll and the lease, but we're supplying the products, helping the mission, helping our customers that don't want to do the homework but they believe in it have 100% qualified Made in America product. So we're growing our Made in America distribution every day. More and more, we stock more. We'll break a case for people. They don't want to buy a whole semi-load of toilet paper, like me and my wife did once. They can buy cases. And that's where we help them manage their inventory. So it's all growing, you know. Just takes time.
You know, and Mark, we're going to continue this conversation. But first, I want to acknowledge a few of the people that helped me to make this broadcast, as well as the broadcast every day here on 860 AM. Monday through Saturday, it's on from 11 AM to 12 noon. In fact, some people tell me they go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link so they could hear the broadcast on Saturday, which is kind of interesting. But I would like to acknowledge our daily broadcasters who help us with donations and promote all of our message out to their publics and make sure that they give our flyers out. I want to thank Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, who's located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, and also Serena's Auto Body Shop has two locations to serve you, one at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And also the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America. Mr. Joseph Drobot is the president. They are all over the United States. For more information about their many insurance plans, you can check them out on the internet by going to PRCUA.org. And also best wishes and thanks for supporting American Made from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, with two offices in Philadelphia to serve all of your legal needs. And if you want a great smile, remember, Dr. Eva Machak has two offices, one at 3084 Armingo Avenue, the other is at 4250 Richmond Street, both in Philadelphia. And Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, also a great supporter, a young guy, very energetic. He has his office on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia. You can visit him on the internet at rostotsky.com. Also, Polka Deli has the greatest selection of food and all sorts of products Made in America, and by the way, all the products that they have, kielbasa, gołąbki, and everything else, are all made in America by American workers. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. If you're planning to do some travel, don't forget the Polish-American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section. And also, Washington Savings Bank and their president, Martin Bednarek, is a great supporter of our daily broadcast here on 860 AM. And he reminds you that you can always bank at Washington Savings Bank, and they welcome the accounts from Polonia Bank at this time. Also, Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio, a great attorney, unbelievably faithful advertiser, serves clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Yolanda Konopacka, you'll see them all listed in the edition of this newspaper. And also, Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the Polish National Alliance, which is America's largest national life insurance organization, representing Polonia across the United States in all 50 states. For more information about their many products, visit them at pna-znp.org. And also, as I said earlier, check out Mark Andel. What a guy. He is unbelievable. Visit his internet site. He'll ship the products to you promptly. Visit him at madeinamericastore.com. And best wishes also from State Senator John Sabatina and Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor Mike Stack, as well as Pennsylvania State Representative John Taylor and Representative Gene DiGirolamo. Also, I want to mention that we have greetings and thank you for supporting American Made from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union, serving America. They have local offices and they also do banking on the internet. Check them out on the internet by going to psfcu.com. And when you're in Philadelphia, I'm depending on you to go out and have some dinner, maybe do a little pogamblowacz at the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. It's totally refurbished. You'll love the casino, and we'll be looking forward to doing some events at the Sugar House Casino in the future. And by the way, you can visit them on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by going to sugarhousecasino.com. I'm also encouraging you to visit our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. We have a growing list of people interested in our movement. That's really good to hear. Now, if you have a local broadcaster and you would like to get them involved in the campaign, many local broadcasters will participate if they have a message in front of them that they can promote to their listeners. Well, I have them all outlined on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on American Workers Need You link, and it'll go to the weekly commentaries that I put out on the Saturday show and are now featured on 20 different radio stations. If you want to include your local station, no matter where, you know, what city or state they're located, ask them to check out that internet site, AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com. The commentaries are there. Not only are the commentaries there, but also the audio edition is there. Sometimes people like to play the audio edition. Others like to read it and make comments on their own. So this year, as you know, our campaign theme is Support the American Made Label. That's also prominently posted on the front page of AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com and AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And it gives you three very important points and reasons why we're asking you to support the American Made Label. Well, Mark, I have to tell you, this was a very, very good broadcast. We talked and learned a lot of things today. I learned in my last 3-4 weeks that it's going to be a lot of work, a lot of hard work to get some of our products in wide circulation. You see yourself from your store. You've done your outreach to as many people as you can. Wouldn't it be great if you had 1,000 more stores interested in promoting your product? It would be unbelievable. your suppliers would then have to get more people in to make the products and so forth and so on. Well, that's the movement we're trying to create to get America's economy moving again and get people back to a job.
Yeah, the beauty, Mike, is everybody, all the listeners, people, they can go out today, tonight, wherever they are and talk it up a little bit. Take a look at what you're buying. Just say, hey, you got it made in America. Just keep talking about it, and you make change. We're doing it. We need more people to get involved. And I just think it's an exciting year. The skilled trade shortage is real. We're going to get work, not find them. But all this is causing people to react and move and change in the right direction. Again, one country, one goal. Let's get healthy again.
You know, you're right, Mark, and especially with the skilled workers. When I talk with some of these good, hard workers who've done this for 35, 40, 45 years, they're able to tell you measurements and stuff like that at the snap of a finger.
Yeah, and they fix their own vehicles. They fix their own cars.
Some of the younger people, they have problems when I tell them to fill out the application so that I could have it typed up, or would they want to sit down and type it up? And, you know, without spell check and everything else, some people are done. They don't know what to do.
The younger person, though, knows computers better. And most everything, your cars, your fork trucks, your welding equipment has computers in it. So it's a great combination, the older people teaching the new people and training. And more schools got to tie with business and have tours and walkthroughs and get internships going and apprenticeships going again, because that's how it all works together.
You know, Mark, on the front page of our Internet site, there is the Million Jobs Project. That's got a lot of viewers, and I'm encouraging everybody to check that out, because in just a matter of 3 minutes, you will be able to see a very important message as to how this happened in America. Please do check that out. We are knocking at the door of 4 million clicks on that YouTube. So please do check it out. It's on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Click on the Million American Jobs Project.
And Mike, maybe you can put that new segment it was on last night for TV2, and maybe you can connect that on your website.
I will ask Henry if he will do that. Because
you'll like it.
Guy, Mark, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, you can always write to me by going to michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I love opinions. I respond to most emails, and most people are very positive. I'm pleased to hear what you're doing. And I'm pleased to know that you're doing what you're doing. I hope that the upcoming spring, summer, and fall are going to be great seasons for you and all the people that are trying to support America and the American-made movement.
And I'd like to put a big thank you out there to Rich Logis, being my eyes down in Florida, traveling down 95 probably right about now.
Well, we'll get a report from him next week. In behalf of Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Henry Chaplinsky, and myself, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word. And also email today's broadcast to family and friends so that they'll get involved in our movement. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Have a very enjoyable President's Day weekend. And as you're out shopping, look at the label to make sure it's made in America. Maybe it's time for you to walk away from it if it's not made in America.
Well said, Mike. Have a great week, everyone.
Have a great one.